the projectionist didn't turn up.
So I went up to the projection room and I put a record on, as though the projectionist was there, and people down in the theatre didn't know he wasn't there. And I hopped in the car, went up to the school and called him out of the school dance, brought him down, and he put the film on, and he was our full-time projectionist from there on. And he done his homework and studies in the projection box, and then he did his 2 years, he did his leaving, and then he went, after he did his leaving, he decided he wanted to go back and do some courses that he couldn't take, and he went back to school and did them.
In Penrith?
In Penrith, at the high school, and then after that we leased the premises, our service station premises, out to the Shell company. They didn't want our spare parts business because they were only interested in petrol and oil. They wanted my shop and the auto chef part of it. He then took over the spare parts business, and our youngest boy was still going to school. And so when they came in together, and they're in it today together.
They both work
in the spare parts business, and they've now enlarged from one shop in Penrith to they now have four others. And Jim has retired out of it, and John and Dennis and myself are still in the business. And my daughter worked in the business. We all worked in it as a family. Yeah. We had to, because that was the only way we could keep the doors open until one day we may be able to do something with it. And we sold the premises to Walton's. And I think that is Norman Ross. That's who is on the premises today, and that's on the corner of High and Station Street.
Did your daughter go on to do further study when she left high school?
Yes, she did. She went to she was always interested in pharmacy, and she went to industrial pharmacy, which was a branch of Bristol Myers at St Mary's, and she went there, and she had to go to Granville Tech those days, because there was no techs in Penrith at all, and that was the nearest, Ultimo or Granville. So she had to go straight from work by train, and then she would come home on the last train about 11 o'clock, I think it was, and of a night, which worried me very much, a young girl travelling on that train. And she had to walk about a mile and a half from the station to Granville Tech. She did that, and she got sick, and the specialist in the finish said that she had to give it away because it was too much study for her, and the time that it was taking her, it was about, I think, 4 year or 5 year course then, I'm quite sure. But she's still interested in that today, and pharmacy runs in our family, runs in the family on my father's side. And that's probably why I wanted to be a nurse, and she went into that sort of thing, and she is very much into that kind of thing with animals and that. Even her daughter is 15, and she's going to St Paul's Grammar, and she's going to do veterinary or agriculture or some in that line. That's what she's going to do. So.
And did you have lots of animals as family pets?
My daughter was the family the animal collector. She had two white rabbits and a little Pekingese dog. And I sent her to get thistles up the back street, which is a very busy street today in Union Road, one afternoon after school, and she came back with two kittens in the basket, not the thistles for the rabbit. And she is a real animal lover. And,
so it was all paddocks and open ground then?
There's a lot of open space, yes. When we first built there, from our home above our business, we could look on to Penrith Showground and see the trotting and the ring events and all that sort of thing straight off our back patio. And we could look at the cars coming down around Lapston. We could look across to Currajong Heights. We'd look across to Castlereagh, and we could look straight across up onto Bellaire Estate. Now, when you look in any of those directions, all you see is concrete and bricks. Can't see anything of that.
That's a shame.
It is. It was beautiful.
And did you feel, while you were living there, did you feel this happening, this encroaching suburbanisation?
You could feel it closing in on you, yes, very much so. And especially when the Penrith Plaza was built, that's when it really made you feel that you were losing that lovely atmosphere of looking out to the hills and looking out to the country. And it was, yes. Well, when it snowed up on Currajong Heights, we could see the snow from our front veranda.
Could you?
Because our front veranda, you haven't got that on there. Before we closed our front patio in, which I said before was 30 feet long by 12 foot wide, and you looked across, we looked towards Castlereagh and Currajong Heights across that way, and when it snowed a few times that it snowed there, you could see the snow from, we could see it. And as I say, it was lovely to look out at night and look at the cars coming down around Lapston. And Warwick Street just looked as though it was just there. It was so close, sort of thing. And the big pine trees of the judge's old home, which the judge's family is an old family of way back in Penrith. Actually, judges had the first chemist shop in Penrith. And we have a lot of their bottles because my husband has a large bottle collection. And he bought out the interior of the old chemist shop. And it was lovely to look out, and you could identify. Looking out my kitchen window, you could look straight up, and I looked at the three steeples of the Catholic Church, the St. Stephen's, and what's the other one? Presbyterian, I think it is. Dunmore Street, where they were straight in front of you, looking straight out my kitchen window. And I looked up, and I could also look up a portion of High Street, and I could see Neil's on top of the hill.
Furniture.
Neil's furniture store, Neil's neon sign, looking out my kitchen window.
A panorama.
Yeah.
And are any of those shops still there today?
Well, no, Neil's store, Neil's store has been rebuilt completely now. The original roof of Bussell Brothers is still there. If you look from opposite the post office and look across and look above the awnings of the present shops there, you will see the funny little roof, or we call it funny little roof, because it was a big store of produce, groceries, clothing and everything those days. And so Neil's were, because we had no supermarkets. They came a lot later.
Mm. How did you do your shopping? Did you just order things and have them delivered, or did you
shop? Well, a lot of the people did ring up and give the shops their weekly order and they would be delivered. But I had a shop on the corner which I had practically everything I wanted, so I didn't have to go and shop very much, go up the street to shop in very much, and other than for the butcher shop and Parker's butcher shop, well, he used to deliver the meat, and I just would ring up and tell him what my meat order would be, and he would deliver it down to me. And I sold bread and milk and everything.
Oh, so you didn't have the baker and the milk?
No, I had a general store. Mm-hmm. I had a general store with a general store with a with the light meals and as I said, the takeaway that they call it today.
And what about clothes shopping? Did you shop in Penrith for clothes?
Yes, I did all my shopping mainly at Fletcher's, which was in the centre of the town, and well, Neil's had clothing and Bustle Brothers had clothing. There was a couple of, there was a few other little shops that Elliot's had frock shop and Daisy Webb had a frock shop. There was a few other little shops like that, but Neil's and Fletcher's and that were the main clothing shops those days.
Did you ever have to travel into the city to buy anything or to for any reason?
No, I never ever got the chance to do that. I often wished I would go into town or sometime do that, but with a shop and young children, I never ever did that. As far as I would go is to the bank, the post office, and back to my shop.
And who did the accounts in the household accounts?
Well, I did a lot of it myself. And then we had a man that used to come in twice a week. I had an office desk up the end of my counter. So when I was not doing something and serving and that sort of thing, I was up there at the end of the counter at my desk. So I did a lot of it like that, and in between serving people. And I had a young girl at work for me, and other than that, I did most of it all myself.
How did you manage the household money, or money generally, with the businesses? I suppose the housekeeping money came out of the business.
Oh, yes, yeah. Well, I had my housekeeping money, and that's... I had my housekeeping money, and so that was always...
Were you actually paid a wage or a salary for what you did? Or?
No, we didn't do that those days. We... Our main concern would be to pay the property off. Every cent went into paying off the property to get it paid for and to be able to buy furniture and buy things like that sort of thing and give the children as much as we could give them.
And what about the roads in the area? Were they pretty... tar-sealed roads?
No, the main street of High Street was concrete, and it's been concrete for many, many years. It was concrete like it is today, but the side, the Worth Street, it was just dirt. It was a dirt, and it was not curbed and gutted or anything like that. We used to mow it with an old hand mower along the footpath, and the back streets, they weren't tarred or anything, mainly they were all dirt, and High Street was the main street, which as it is today.
And what sort of industries were there in the area at that stage?
Not very many industries. The main thing around was farming on the Castlereagh area, farming and orchards. Emu Plains, mainly all orchards. On the Mulgoa, all dairies and Ludnam, all around there were all dairy farmers, with the milk truck picking up the milk every day from the milk cans and taking it to the milk factory, which was just down in Castlereagh Road, where it is today, the same place where it is today.
So there wasn't much industry, I suppose. Mm. Most of that was in the St Mary's area.
Yes, it didn't. That St Mary's was the main industrial area when they started to build down there and industrial sites.
And what about your health services? I asked you about the doctors in the hospital. What about dental services?
Yes, well, there was dentists here in town, and not many, of course. I think four, maybe six, but I think about four. And they were dentists that had been in the town for many years. And so anything else, you would have to have gone to Sydney for any other treatment, mainly than if you just wanted to have a tooth out or a filling that didn't have any complications or anything. And I know my father had a tooth out and it abscessed. And he came back to the dentist, and it was the dentist's name was Don Hattersley, and he sent him straight to a Macquarie Street specialist, and that was the nearest that we could see a specialist those days.
And talking about the churches in the area, do you think they played an important role in the community in those days, in the 50s?
Yes, they did. They did play a very important role, I think. Being that I was brought up in Ludnam, I went to St James Church of England at Ludnam. I was the organist there for quite a long time. Even after I was married, I went back until I started the shop, when I was open 7 days and seven nights a week. I was the organist at the church at Ludnam, so I didn't go to Penrith Church because I was involved still in the Ludnam Church. But plenty of my friends that I got to know when I came to Penrith to live, and that I knew when I was working, I mean, they all were involved in the church in some way or other.
And it was a good social
meeting place? Yes, it was, yes.
And what about, I know you didn't have much recreation time, if any, but if you did, or what did your children do for recreation? Did you go on picnics or anything like that?
No, as I said, 7 days and seven nights a week, no. My children, we'd go up to the park where there were swings and seesaw. And when my mother and father would come in on a Sunday afternoon, because we were always open, they would come in from Ludnam. And sometimes when it was very hot, Mum would say, "I'll mind the shop, take the kids to the beach town, to Thurua," which was the closest for us. And always by the time we got there, it had turned cold. And it was too freezing cold for the kiddies to go in swimming. So we, yes, or Ostermere. Yes. So every time we went, did that. That's what. By the time we got down there, it was too cold.
Did you swim in the river ever?
No. I was always very wary of swimming in the river because there was lots of holes in the river and lots of drownings and all that sort of thing, that I was very wary of my children. When we eventually got a pool in Penrith, they would go to the pool, and I had them taught swimming as soon as they were able to, with the school and the school holidays and that sort of thing. But otherwise, they were quite content those days to have their friends and do their own little entertaining things themselves and make their own fun.
So they seem to do in this.
Yes, that's right.
That's cold.
It is. And did you ever have time to go to the movies yourself when you had the theatre?
Well, no. Sometimes we would have the same film they would, with contract, you're on contract with the films, and sometimes we would be on a contract that we would have to run it for a week. And everyone would say to me, you must be sick of seeing that film. And I think to myself, well, I haven't seen any of it because I've been too busy either cleaning the toilets or cleaning the foyer or restocking the fridge, the refrigerators and the lolly counter and everything like that, because I would run that in conjunction with my own shop down the road. So I was always flat out doing that or getting ready for the next night or getting it, because as soon as the pictures would finish, we would clean up straight away for ready for the next night. And and I'm afraid pictures were not my interest. Although we had the theatre, my father wouldn't, when we were children, he wouldn't take us across the road to pictures. And he said they were shadows on the wall. And but if it was a dance, that was a different matter. My parents both were very good dancers, so I grew up with parents that danced. And from the time I could walk practically, we used to dance in the corner. And so it was quite a thing, and no one could believe. As a matter of fact, no one could believe that I would ever give up dancing to play in a dance band, but I did. And so, of course, I was not interested in, very interested in films, the same as I don't watch television very much either now. And it's got to be very interesting other than your news. That is the main thing I watch on television.
And so when television started here, that made it difficult for you in the theatre. Mm. Did you keep it going for long after that?
Well, it was... television started in October 1956, I think it was, 1956. And we just had got our licence re-endorsed, and we had to do lots of renovations, and we had installed the new equipment and everything like that. That we opened on Boxing Night 1956, which was just 3 months after television came to everybody's home, and everybody was so taken with television that they bought televisions and paid them off, and they couldn't afford to go to the pictures. So we had a very lean time like that, and we struggled through, and until when we did sell it, which was about 16 years later though, when we sold it. And the last six months to clear out our contracts, we practically had a full house every night.
Mm. Amazing. And you were very involved in lots of organisations in the
yeah. in the area, which you talked about before. And did you how did you find the introduction of new people to the area from Europe after the war, the displaced persons who came to live out this way? Did you have much to do with any European people?
Not a lot. I say not a lot. When you're in business, you come across different people from different countries all the time, and they were always welcome in our home, and they were always welcome at our service station. So, and we got to know them very well, and they are very good friends, and we are still very good friends with them today. Mm-hmm. And
what nationalities mostly were they that you made friends with?
There's some German people, Dutch people, quite a lot of Dutch people, English people, Italian people. We have quite a large variety of friends from lots of different countries. Mm-hmm. And as I say, they are still our friends today. And we enjoy their company and have no regrets in any way.
And I suppose they changed your life in little ways, I suppose, like recipes and...
Oh, yes. Yes, we've exchanged lots of recipes and all that sort of thing. Only that lots of the recipes that they have given me, Jim doesn't like all of them, so I'm restricted that I can't... I can't cook them all the time.
And did you, I hesitate to ask this because you probably didn't have time, but with all the orchards around, did you make your own jams? And
often.
Did you?
Yes, often. I used to have cooking sessions, nighttime cooking sessions in between and Saturday afternoon cooking sessions. I always made 7 apple pies every Saturday afternoon.
For the shop.
For the shop and mm-hmm. for my own use and all that sort of thing. And I cooked all our own, most of the corned beef and everything like that type of thing, I cooked it for the shop as well. I was used to having home-cooked food because the home that I, my own parents' home, everything was home-cooked there. And so I was used to having all those kind of things. And my husband, being that he came from one side of Penrith and I came from the other side of Penrith, and strange as it may seem, that he had a similar home, and he still likes his bread and butter custards and his rice custards and all those kinds of things, and that's the kind, and steam puddings and all that. And I've got to be homemade fruit cake and everything like that, and that's all the things I was brought up to do. And my mother was a good cook, and my grandparents both, my grandmothers both were good cooks. So, and for jam, well, my father was a pretty good cook as well, and he would be on a grader somewhere in the district somewhere, and he would arrive home with a case of oranges or a case of grapes for grape jam. So I was quite used to that.
It sounds as though you had more than 24 hours in each day.
Yeah.
And what about the change that, you know, after reflecting on your life in that period and thinking about what it is today, how do you feel about the changes that have taken place out here in the West?
Well, I often think, often think I'd like to go back to those days because we had some lovely times and entertaining times and all that sort of thing. Life is too fast now in a lot of ways, and there's just so many new people in the area. Penrith is not Penrith anymore to me because it's just not that big country town that it used to be. And I can remember, like, when I had the shop and that, and I said I would go to the post office and the bank, and I would often think to myself, I hope to heavens I don't meet anybody I know, because otherwise I'll be late back to the shop. And I said I'd just be half an hour. But now you can go there and you can spend a day in Penrith in the main street and you wouldn't know anyone. It's just strangers everywhere.
So it's become more impersonal.
Yes, yes, where everybody knew, and everybody knew everybody's family and what the kiddies were doing and where you were going and everything like that. It was just more like a big family. Last weekend we went to Gunnedah, which is a big country town, and it was just like Penrith used to be. And while I was waiting for the lady I was staying with, people were gathering, talking to each other, saying, hello Jack and hello Mary, and what are you doing, and you're going to the swap meeting. And then when Dot came out of the shop that she was in, and we were walking along the street, and she's saying hello to this one and hello to that one, and I couldn't help but take me back to the days when Penrith was exactly the same, because I can remember when Friday night shopping was in Penrith those days, and I worked in Penrith on the Friday night shopping, and everybody came into town and they would congregate in the streets and talk and